leave with Yoyna the Bechira. He decided not to do the Nevuah. So I'm going to read you what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zecher Tzadik Levracha says in his Sichas Musar. I was Zecher to see Reb Chaim Shmulevitz when I was a young boy. We lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he was a man that just, if you looked at him, it helped you hear a Shemayim just to see him. So I remember when he used to give these shmuz when I was a little kid. This one actually is before I even went to Eretz Yisrael, Tav Shalom and Aleph. So he says, Hinei Anu Royim, he says, Nisim Gedolim Shanasu L'Yayna, unbelievable miracles. V'sharusei B'chaim B'mei Adag, V'kol Ishtal Shulus and Yonim. Avra Hafli, he says, unbelievable. Zog Zohar, and he still didn't tell, we spoke about that yesterday, the male fish didn't make him daven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him into Bimei Hadoga, put him into a female fish with a bunch of other fish in there. Finally he starts davening. V'yesh Lovin Kol Kach Lama. Rekab Chaim Shulevitz, why did the Baruch Hashem go so far? Hoyeloi Lishloach Navi Achel and Inve, Hashem should have sent another Navi. Send another Navi to Nineveh. Why are you sending Yonah? But I'm asking you to kasha differently than Reb Chaim Shulevitz. It's not just why didn't he? It's a stira with Bechira. I'm asking the kasha, not just the kasha on the Rebbeinu Shulevitz. Why didn't the Rebbeinu Shulevitz send another Navi? I'm asking you what to me bothers me even more. Every person has Bechira. For good and for bad. Yonah made his Bechira. He made his choice. He's not going to Nineveh. But if you go through Sefer Yonah Rabbi Yisai, you will see Hashem doesn't let him. Halavai, we would all have this, right? The Baruch Hu will schlep us in the Beis Medrash. The Baruch Hu will keep us in Beis Medrash 12 hours a day. Make sure we finish Shas. Poiskim, Yerushalmi, Bavli. Sifri Sifrotei Sefta Mechilta, it would be great. But it's not the way it works. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam lets us make our choices. And many of us don't make those right choices. So Yonah decided he's not going. It was a good decision, a bad decision. That was his decision. Why did Rebbeinu Shel Olam force him? So Chaim Shulevitz. So I want to tell you what I think lies in his terrors. He says the following. El Nireh Adarabe. He says it's the opposite. Mishum Shabarach Yoina. Because Yoina ran away. Umosar Nafshe Bashlichatz Miliyam Ayyadeh Melech. He went and he had himself thrown into the water. Ubevitre Alkol Madregas Hanales. You know what it used to be? You know what his Navi is? Navim used to wait their whole lives to get a Nevuah. That's how special Nevuah was. The Rambam says, what's B'nei HaNevim? The Rambam says, "Elu amavakshim es hanevuah." You think he got nevuah like that? You think it was like a cell phone? You flip a flip phone, you flip up in your nevuah? Didn't work like that. Or no, he had to prepare himself. Some neviim prepared themselves their whole life to get one nevuah. But Yain has given up on everything. He's being mavater on everything. He's already a navi. He knows he runs away. He's not very well. Never get a nevuah again. Hakol biglal shaloye kitru gal Yisrael. Yonah did all of this because he was afraid the Goyim are going to do tshuva and it's going to look bad on the Jews, like we explained in the Hagdama. So he says, if that's the case, hare dover ze atzmoi heloi v'nisoi l'darga gavoy yesem. That's what made him roy for Nevuah. That's what made Yonah on a higher level to be roy for the Nevuah. The more Yonah ran away, the more he became royal in Nevuah. Doesn't look up Chaim Shmulevitz. Ki boy bocha Hashem mikol ha-Nevim v'dafka boy li yishlich ha-mokam le-lechel Nineveh. Then he goes on to Hanani Mishol Vazari. So really this piece of Chaim Shmulevitz needs still a lot of clarification. Right? Why? Why? Chaim Shmulevitz is saying like this. He's saying that Lamaisa, when Yonah ran away, he was putting everything in jeopardy. He was putting his Nevuah in jeopardy. He was putting his level with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything he was putting in jeopardy. because he didn't want Klal Yisrael to be a Kitrug. He says, because of that, he became more worthy. He became the one that was Roy. The more he ran away, the more Roy he became, ultimately to get the Nevuah to go to Nineveh. Which we were Masber, he never got the Nevuah yet to go to Nineveh till afterwards. We explained that. Right? Dafka now he became Roy. But the problem on Reb Chaim Shulevitz is, so why Taka did Hashem force him to go? If he Taka didn't want to go, and he didn't want to go for the right reasons, he didn't want to go to say Nevuah for to help out the Goyim. Why would he want to give a Nevuah that he thinks is going to help out the Goyim? If they do tshuva, it's going to help them out. And if they do tshuva, it's going to look bad on Klal Yisrael. Why should he want to do such a thing? Why in the world would he want to do such a thing? Doesn't make any sense. I had a kid a couple of years ago came for Fahar. This happens a lot of times by Fahars where they put something on the application to try to make the kid impressive. Why shouldn't they? Makes sense. If they put something in the application not impressive, then you know you really have a problem. Right? If they don't even have the seichel to know to put something in the application that's impressive, then you know you have a problem. So, put on this kid was a Talmud HaShavua. So in the picture, you know, when the yeshiva asks on application, enclose a picture. You know, so like I said, every now and then you have a Meshuggah come with a baseball cap, whatever. So I understand you can wear a baseball cap, no problem, but that's not the picture you send in on the application. You know, have a little seichel. Okay. So this kid, they sent in a picture with him and his manal, with a picture with Talmud HaShavuah. Just to show you, see, the kid is Talmud HaShavuah. Now, I didn't want to make anybody feel bad. But when I looked at the application, I knew that the kid came from a yeshiva. It's a very small class. It's maybe 20 kids. Okay? There's 40 weeks a year. So, l'chay al-pi cheshmi, it's not such a kunst to be a Talmud HaShavuah. Unless they give the same kid every week. But I didn't say anything. The father was pointing out, you see Rabbi Radinsky, you see that picture there? Because it wasn't so clear. That was a Talmud HaShavuah certificate. The kid pipes up and he goes, Ta, everybody's a Talmud HaShavuah at least once. Most or twice, I only got it once. Now, I don't blame the father. The father was trying to, it's his son. He's trying to, was he going to go take away from his son? He wants to promote his son. There's no kindness on the father. I glad I took the kid and the kid's in this room right now and he's got a great boy. I'm not going to point him out. He's a great boy. No problem. I have no problem with that. It's fine. That's the job. Yoin's job, as a Novi, his job is to promote Klal Yisrael. And that's what Chaim Shulevitz is saying. He wants to promote Klal Yisrael. He doesn't want to take away from Klal Yisrael. So he's going to go give a Nevuah to the Goyim. He's going to give a Nevuah to the Goyim. And then what? If they do tshuva, he's helping them out. He's helping them out and he's ruining it for Klal Yisrael. So what's Reb Chaim Shulevitz saying? Because he was ready to be Moisa Nefesh, he's the one that became Roy to be the Novi. For Nineveh. Why? Just the opposite. I understand what Reb Chaim Shulevitz is saying up until that point. He shouldn't have to go to Nineveh. Al Korchach, you see from Reb Chaim Shulevitz and Yesoid Choshev, that the Nevuah to Nineveh ultimately was a mila for Klal Yisrael. If it wouldn't have been a mila for Klal Yisrael, then Yoinu would not have been Zoicha to get that Nevuah. He was Zoicha to get that Nevuah because there was a mila for Klal Yisrael. What mila was there for Klal Yisrael? So I'll tell you what the mila is. The mila to Klal Yisrael was very simple. There's a Gemara at the end of Sukkot, in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, it talks about Sukkot. Famous Gemara. Lost love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come, he's going to offer the Torah to everybody. The Goyim are going to say, we want to accept it too. Hashem is going to go say, fine. We'll give it to you. We'll give you the Torah. Mitzvah, Kala Yeshli. Here's an easy mitzvah, Sukkot. the mitzvah sukkah. The goyim are going to take mitzvah sukkah. And what's going to be? The famous Gemara. It's going to be very hot. And every goy is going to walk out of the sukkah and kick the sukkah. I'll show you in the Gemara. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to waft them out of town. The Gemara is a kasha. They're allowed to go out of the sukkah. Mitzvah, potem and sukkah. They're allowed to leave the sukkah. They're going to all ask the galach. The galach is going to tell them. Yeah, the Baruch Hu is going to give all the galach and mitzvah ma'akitz and shulchan aruch. It's because they have to know hulcha sukkah. Right, the galachim don't know hulcha sukkah. David's going to give them a nice art scroll version, easy to read. An app, a sukkah app. And every priest is going to know the halacha. And the goyim are going to come, go, we're schwitzing in the sukkah, we're dying in there. And the priest is going to go, let me check my app, and it picks it up. There's a nice search engine there, it puts it in. Heat. And it says over there, when extreme heat temperature, leave the sukkah. So he tells them all, okay, guys, brothers, leave the sukkah. So what are they doing wrong? They shouldn't kick the sukkah. So they kicked the sukkah. Okay. So for that they lose, because they kicked the sukkah instead of walked out of the sukkah. What's the chilak? So if David Pardo, Zeche Tzadik Levroch, Hasidic Gevaldik Vot, the Kohel is David. If David Pardo says that the sukkah is a ruchniistic thing. The sukkah is a ruchniistic. That's the whole idea of a sukkah. The sukkah is a ruchniistic. And therefore, when a person goes into a sukkah, what are they showing? They're showing my life is really spiritual. It's what we spoke about from the Maral yesterday, from the Maral and the Baal HaKedah, right? That my life is really spiritual. I eat in the sukkah, I sleep in the sukkah. This is my life. That's the mile of a sukkah. My whole life becomes spiritual. That's the mile of a sukkah. No other mitzvah do you have that. You have no other mitzvah where your whole life turns spiritual. Only sukkah has that mile. So when the goyim are going to come, and the goyim are going to say, we want to be Yidden, Hashem is going to give them an easy test. The easy test is, let's see, you really want to be spiritual people? Okay, I'm going to give you a mitzvah where you can show if you're a spiritual person. Sukkah. That's the answer why it's called an easy mitzvah. Remember, we asked that, Kash. Why is it easy? It's not easy. The Torah says, it's an easy way to check if you're ready to be a spiritual person. Because every other mitzvah is an act. If a guy shakes lulav, doesn't show he's a spiritual person. He's shaking lulav. But the sukkah, you eat, you drink, you sleep, you shmul, that's your life. So a sukkah is a very quick way to see, what are you? What kind of person are you? That's why I judge sukkah, how people, what the level of people are, how much time they spend in their sukkah. Somebody goes to a yom tov of sukkahs, and 90% of the time they're in their house. They go into sukkah, they make kiddush, they have a meal here, a meal there, but they make, that's a magushimdik person. That means they haven't yet made themselves into spiritual people. A spiritual person has a yom tov like sukkahs, most of the yom tov he's in the sukkah. That's what it's all about. It's going to get hot. It's going to get hot. So now you have to leave the sukkah, right? So now what are you, physical or spiritual? Very simple. If you're a spiritual person, you're in pain that you have to leave the sukkah. Because you're depriving your neshama from a mitzvah. Now you're depriving your neshama from a mitzvah. I always tell guys this. If there's a snow day, so a guy wants to take off secular studies. I understand. But if a guy wants a snow day, he shouldn't have a morning seder. There's something wrong there. Something has to be fixed. You don't want secular studies, that's understandable. But a guy doesn't want a morning seder. Why don't you want a morning seder? Something wrong. Something wrong there. That's if you don't want a morning seder. Right? We're not here to force people to have a morning seder. We're here to create people that want a morning seder. That's the tachlis. If a guy walks out of the sukkah and he doesn't feel like a major benefit was just canceled, like he had a ski day planned for 3 months And then it got canceled. How does he feel? He's not excited. Man, I guess he's excited because then he could learn. I'm saying the average guy. So Mason is not excited that his ski trip got canceled. Yeah? You're disappointed. If you're not disappointed, it means you're not an Emerson ski guy. Yankovin would be devastated. Imagine a ski trip you planned for 3 months to Vermont. With the Brodies, he can leave 3 a.m. What only he do him? He'd be on the slopes for 16 hours. 16 and a half hours. And then all of a sudden, the morning comes, canceled. Devastated. Why? Because skiing means something to you. Means something to you. If you had a 3 month in advance appointment with the dentist for 2 root canals, you knew you had to do it. Listen, I need to take care of my teeth. What could I do? And they call the morning of and they go, I'm sorry, sir. Your root canals were canceled. Party time! Root canal was canceled. Gewaldig. Why? Because you're not a person that gets a seat book from sitting in a dentist chair getting root canals. I hope not anyway, if you are your mental case. So the Rabbanu Shalom gave them a test. What are you? What kind of person are you? If you celebrate leaving the sukkah, so you're not a spiritual person. To you, sitting in the sukkah is a root canal. So you're celebrating, yay, no sukkah, whoa, party time. So you're not a spiritual person. That's the pshat. The Gemara says, I'm a style, put them on a sukkah. The Gemara says, yeah, what did they kick the sukkah for? So the guy says, who's kicking? What are they kicking? Kicking shows what kind of person you are. That's what kicking says. Those are the pshat. Those are the pshat. Now we understand that that's the talk of the test of loss of love. That's the test of going. Now you come back to tshuva. There's really two kinds of tshuva. We know that tshuva is only by Jews. Real tshuva is only by Jews. That's the mash primo and the Bnei Yisachar and the Chidor and all the Achronim ask, how didn't they do tshuva? Can't really do tshuva. Goyim can't do tshuva. One of the answers given is it wasn't real tshuva. It was a temporary tshuva. It wasn't real tshuva. What's the reason for that? Because what does the word tshuva mean? Tshuva means you go back to your source. You're going back. To where? Going back to your makor. Right? So by a yid, that he's living for ruchnias, deep in his soul, there's a spiritual. So when he doesn't have erud, then he does tshuva. He's going back to his makor. He's going back to where he belongs. That's why tshuva. By a goy, it's fakert. He's a magushim. And therefore, his real tshuva is to go back to what he was before. The tshuva is fake. The tshuva is not the real thing. Like the Maharal was saying, that's the whole Ma'il of Yisrael with the Kuzri, which we spoke about yesterday. Memela, the tshuva of Nineveh was incomplete tshuva. Tshuva in Nineveh was like the sukkah test in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. Because they didn't do tshuva. They did external tshuva. Later they went back to their old ways. So Memela, it ended up that Nineveh not only wasn't in a makatrig on Klal Yisrael, Nineveh was Muhammad Schus on Klal Yisrael. Because Nineveh showed that it wasn't Bishlemus, the tshuva wasn't through and through. So Nineveh brought out the chilek between Klal Yisrael and Dumas Olam. So it ended up that what Yonah was afraid about was precisely the opposite. It was precisely the opposite. Just like the Rabban Hashem was able to show through sukkah. He was, and the goyim went into the sukkah. It looked like, oy vey, the goyim are going into the sukkah. Now what's it going to be? Yeah, don't worry. Hold on. They'll kick it soon. And when they kick it, it's going to end up showing us more than we knew before, right? If they wouldn't have gone into the sukkah to begin with, we wouldn't know what they are. Maybe, who knows? Maybe they're the type that would. No, wait. Give them sukkah. Let them go in. Oy, the goyim's going into sukkah. Now we don't look so good anymore. No, don't worry. Wait. You'll see. The guy goes into the sukkah, then he kicks the sukkah. When the guy kicks the sukkah, he shows something we didn't even know before he went in. It shows he's not in it. The sukkah doesn't mean anything to him. That's the ma'ala. Turns out the sukkah, exactly what the Ketzai says on the Gemara in Kiddush Daf Lamed Aleph, with the guy with Doma Ben Nesina, with the Paraduma, which you all know the story, right? The guy didn't want to wake up his father. Doma Ben Nesina. Right? He refused to wake up his father because his father was sleeping on the key with a box where they needed the stones for Avnei Shoyam. Right? Meshugan Goya, Goya Shikup, he doesn't wake up his father. What would a Jew do if I was lying down on a key, right? And somebody came and that key was a key to a closet. Where in that closet there was a stone that somebody was ready to buy for $10 million. And Yankovin told me that he lost the deal because I was sleeping. Give him a good flask. That's why he's called Doma Ben Nesina. It's Miloshin Dom. He was Dom. Rabbi Nesin came just the right time. I told him why it's called Doma Ben Nesina, because Taka was a goy shikop. Ayid would wake up his father and he would have a mitzvah. It would be kibbutz av to wake up his father. Imagine Ayid wakes up and his son tells him while he was sleeping at a $10 million deal, but he didn't want to wake him up. That would be the biggest zulzul in kibbutz av. Zok tiktzois. The next year, Hashem made the what? That the guy was rewarded with a paradume, and Kleisel came and bought the paradume from him. Frek the Ktzois, why punk did Hashem give him a paradume? So the Ktzois says, because when the guy did Kibbutz Av, it was a kitrug on Kleisel. Look, even a guy, look what a guy does. How's our Kibbutz Avim? Look at the guy's Kibbutz Avim. Says the Ktzois, but Kibbutz Avim is a seichelik mitzvah. It's logical. Your parents brought you in the world, you should have respect them. Honor them. Poor Adum is a choik. Makes no sense. Says the Ktzais, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Dafka gave the reward to the guy in a way that it should show the difference between Klai Yisrael and Umas Olam. So it comes out that the tshuva of Nineveh worked out. Not only wasn't it a kitrug on Klai Yisrael, like Yoina was worried, but it ended up being a schus for Klai Yisrael. You see, there's fake tshuva. Now you can all watch. Here's the fake tshuva. Look at Anshei Nineveh. Fake tshuva. Today they have a phrase called fake news. Fake news. Fake tshuva. That's what Anshei Nineveh did. Fake tshuva. So it ended up being a schus. Now Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's vote is gewaldig. In order for Yonah to be zeicher, to give a nevuah to Nineveh, which ultimately is going to end up benefiting the Yidden, he had to be moisen nefesh for Klal Yisrael. By him being Moshe Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, he became worthy for the Nevuah, which ultimately ended up being Melamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael. There's a lot more to say, but we have to learn, so we'll stop here.